Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your motorsports and multi-sports hour. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. I'll be your crew chief, Q. Captain Kurt will be joining us in a while for more shenanigans, and you're always welcome to join in on that. You can call into Speedway Anywhere at 917-889-2053 or email the show as we keep them up live at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. Hope you had a great 4th of July, but the real firecrackers start at the Firecracker 400 this Saturday at Daytona with the Cup Boys. Matter of fact, I think they named the Busch Series race the Firecracker 250 this year as well. It used to be the Pepsi 400 was the title sponsor. Now it's the Coke Zero. How do you do Coke Zero 500? I don't know. 400. Whatever it is. Title sponsor is title sponsor. At least they have them. I hope they keep it going because the new contract with the 50% share being sold off from NASCAR could change things up a little bit. The biggest excitement from yesterday had nothing to do with motorsports, but it was still a race. Instead of the Rolex 24, you know, the 24-hour race at Rolex, it was more like the hot dog 10 minutes. I had no idea how huge of an event this actually is. It's held in Brooklyn, New York, at the Nathan's Famous Corporation, which is the owner of the Nathan's Hot Dogs. I learned so much today just doing my research. It's another year, another Mustard Belford, Joey Chestnut. Apparently he had 10 wins in the big national hot dog eating competition. He set a record too, by the way. And then Mickey Sudo, the women's champion. So the veteran champions were able to withstand the tough competition and heat and come out victorious in the 2018 Nathan's Famous Oh my God, I'm laughing at myself because it's just funny. I'm reporting on a hot dog eating contest, but it was the only big thing going on yesterday. Came out victorious in the 2018 Nathan's Famous International Hot Dog Eating Contest. And it is international. They actually attract people from around the globe. So they won a mustard bell, from what I gathered. I hope they got something more than that, than just free hot dogs. So, but coming into the big event, rising star Carmen Shankati looked to overthrow the 10-time champion and take home his first title. Joey was determined to add another win to his impressive competitive eating resume. Not only did he win his 11th title, but he broke the record, eating 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. This astonishing performance only further solidified his place in Nathan's Famous history. On the women's side, Mika remained dominant. Despite the high heat, she was able to fend off the hungry competition of Michelle Lesko and Juliet Lee. With the victory, Mickey brought home her 5th consecutive title. Now, Mickey only ate 37. That's half of how many Chestnut it. I got to get off this subject. It's just got me giggling too much. The big news for the 4th of July was hot dog eating. Got it. Everyone can email the Speedway at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com or join us on the show, 917-889-2053. I promise we won't talk about too many ridiculous subjects, although there are more to come here. I want to follow up on the Cup Series because last weekend, Cup ran in the grueling heat of Chicagoland, where even in the evening qualifying laps on Saturday, drivers were getting put to the test of what their bodies could handle the day after on Sunday. Paul Menard took the pole. On Sunday, Kyle Busch will go on to win with what many are calling the best finish so far this year. Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, the KK show, and not Kim Kardashian, gave each other the same fenders and bumpers on the final laps, nearly taking both out and opening the door for Kevin Harvick, who finished third. If you were watching the race, you would have saw Kyle as he walked over to the camera, swishing his eye around as if the crowd was crying. I don't blame him. I really don't. The crowd was booing him because he raced Kyle Larson just as aggressively as Kyle Larson raced him, and it was only fair. I'm sure people were a little salty after Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick in that stage race where Kevin Harvick was easily heard over the scanners, crying and whining because a teammate beat him to the stage finish. Whatever. Kurt Busch has no victories on the year. He's still in a good position in points. Victory went to Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson second, Harvick in third. Fourth was Truex, and once again, a Stewart Haas teammate, a Bowyer, rounding out the top five. Stewart Haas teammate Kurt Busch was quite upset, obviously. And Kurt Busch ended up 17th. Kurt Busch fell to 7th in points and still needs a win to lock him in, but he's sitting pretty as far as points. I mean, I don't see him outside of the beginning of the chase when it comes down to the final 10 races. Brad Keselowski, also no wins. He fell one spot to 5th. He has no wins. As far as drivers locked in outside the top 10 with a victory is only Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon is 19th. Austin Dillon is a regular starter every race. So as long as, you know, he keeps up that status, his place of 19th with one victory will get him in the final 10 races. Keselowski and Hamlin honestly surprised me as far as drivers with no wins inside the top 10. Jimmy Johnson, of course, 12th in points, surprises me as well. The points currently run at Kyle Busch in first, Harvick in second, Logano in third, Martin Truex Jr. in fourth, and Brad Keselowski in fifth. It's been an interesting season as far as that goes, and I can't wait to get to next week's midseason report because this is not rounding out the way I thought it would. Now, when everyone got all excited about Austin Dillon, ooh, you won the Daytona 500. Well, big deal. Chevy and Austin Dillon and Richard Childress have done nothing since. Also, Jimmy Johnson in a Chevy, still no wins. The Chevys are doing okay in the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Kudos for that, I guess. Got to move ahead here. ARCA points currently set, just like after the finish last weekend, Sheldon Creed in first, Zane Smith in third, and I skipped too far ahead. Zane Smith in second, Riley Herbert in third. Archon Saturday the 7th will be at Indy, opening up at Iowa Speedway on that Saturday, and then Indy on July 8th. More on that in a second. ARCA is going to be here in my hometown at Elko Speedway on July 14th. If I haven't told you a million times, I failed to mention that you can get discount tickets at Menards stores for almost every ARCA event across the U.S. Obviously, their stores are widespread in the Twin Cities. It's kind of their home base. So if you get them at Menards, you'll get a reduced price admission. And it's easy. You buy them up at the customer service centers and save a couple bucks. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? Elko is an extremely premier facility as far as the short track goes, and press booths all lined across the top. There's no more beehives underneath the bleachers, that kind of thing. So it's going to be another awesome event. I kind of wish the K&N Pro Series East and West were still doing their Clash of the Titans show there, but it's not up to me. So, Truck Series, Johnny Sauter still leads the points. Noah Gregson in second. Brett Moffitt, he has 3 wins. He's honestly him, Sauter, Gregson, and I'm not sure Grant Enfinger has a win. No, I got it in my notes here. Friesen and Enfinger, who are 4th and 5th, still have no wins to lock them in, but they're in pretty good shape. Justin Haley, who won at Gateway, I believe, is locked into the Trucks Chase with a win at, yes, I just found it in my notes, with a win at Gateway, who and sits 6th in points. Multi-time Matt Crafton runs 7th in points, still with no victories. He's not a lock. And, of course, the truck in the Xfinity Series, as far as their Chase Series goes, it's not like Cup where you have 16 spots available. I believe the Truck Series only has 8. And I believe the Xfinity Series, 10. So, take for instance, you got 9 guys with a win. The 10th guy in that chase better be at the top of the points. Trucks will take the weekend off in return for a Thursday event, July 12th at Kentucky. They're opening up the weekend for the Xfinity and Cup Series there. That's a track that people have a little bitterness about, because apparently the traffic patterns are really bad. You got to leave with 4 hours to spare to get there, and it's no picnic coming out of there. But that's what happens when Bruton Smith gets awarded a Cup Series date for a track that's doesn't have the roads and the hotels and, you know, all that good stuff. I'm going to give my voice a quick little break here. I am needing a little bit of Gatorade as I'm 15 minutes in. We'll be right back. we're back. So let's move on to the Xfinity Series. Xfinity Series points. Cole Custer in first, Daniel Hemric in second, and Elliott Sadler in third. Those points got shuffled a bit. Christopher Bell in fourth, the first guy with a victory. Tyler Reddick in fifth, the second guy with a victory. Pretty tight points in the top three, but only Christopher Bell and fifth place Reddick, of course, like I just mentioned, have victories, locking them in to the Xfinity Chase. Justin Allgaier, he's in sixth. He has a win. He's locked in. Spencer Gallagher, back in 14th, has a lock for the Chase with a win. And then we go all the way back to Ryan Preece in 29th with a win, but only three starts, which I believe doesn't make him Chase eligible. So there's been exceptions made. I'm curious how this is going to shake out, come down to the actual beginning, final races. The Xfinity Series opens up the Firecracker Weekend at Daytona tomorrow. I spread that word out. How the heck did I do that? That was stupid. Tomorrow evening at Daytona, and of course the Cup Series on Saturday for the big, what they call the 4th of July race. I can't wait till it falls back on a Friday the 3rd and Saturday the 4th. Just feels kind of silly calling it 4th of July races. Rain's been a factor today for practice sessions. Let's hope that that's done after today, because they're night races. I want to keep them night races. I don't want the Busch Series to come out on Sunday. Xfinity Series to come out on Sunday and do a day racer. I don't want the Cup Series to come out and do a day race on Sunday as a makeup event. I want them to be primetime night races. I love that stuff. One of the highest rated races was the one where Juan Montoya hit the jet dryer truck after a race that was supposed to start around noon on Sunday. They tried to get it in Sunday evening. They planned it for Monday afternoon. I think NASCAR needs to go primetime. I really do. That would just really make my day. NASCAR needs to go primetime and do something like that. I mean, coming up here at Eldora, the Truck Series will be doing their event for the only race on dirt. So anyways, I'm rambling, and I'd rather ramble on with others. 917-889-2053, or email speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. The NHRA, after a weekend off, the NHRA will swing out to New England in Epping, New Hampshire on Friday, July 6th through Sunday the 8th. That's for the New England Nationals. New England will swing back to Colorado. Imagine a tic-tac-toe board. If you were to put an X in the upper right square, and then put an X in the center, that's Colorado. And then put an X out there in Sonoma Valley, California, wine country. You know that crazy little horseshoe area, paperclip area, before the Cup Series goes to the start finish line? That's the beginning staging area of the drag racing track. And so they'll be going down there, and that's like the widest swings of any racing tour that I've seen in a long time. So, yeah, New Hampshire, Colorado, out to California. And then they head up the Western Seaboard to Washington before coming east for their annual weekend at Brainerd International Raceway here in Minnesota, hometown. Sorry, got to brag. For the Lucas Oil Nationals, August 16th through the 19th. And with any luck and a wing and a prayer, I will be up there. I already got my accommodation set up. Now it's just whether or not I get the press pass and all that fun stuff. Steve Torrence still leads top field. Courtney Forrest is holding a strong commanding lead in Funny Car. She took a loss to Hagen in the last race out there in Norwalk, Ohio. Yeah, Norwalk, Ohio. And that was also after beating her dad in the semifinal. They got to race each other again, but not for the final. So Hagen is tied at 788 points to Jack Beckman for second. I believe Hagen is technically behind Jack Beckman in the tiebreaker. So, Pro Stock, like usual, Tanner Gray, Erica Anders, frenemy, I guess. I'm not going to say bitter rival. And then Eddie Krawick still leads Pro Bike over Savoy. Yeah. Once again, we'll be doing a feature on the Women of Horsepower soon, and I hope you can tune into that, and you could bet a large portion of it will be about the women of the NHRA. Of course, we're going to throw in Danica, but we're also going to throw in Angel Sealing, who led on Pro Bike, Top Bike, different names they had for that division a long time ago. And so Shirley Muldowney, Angel Sealing, Sarah Fisher from the IndyCar series. I know you guys are just dying for me to say the other one's name, but I'm not done yet. Aaron Crocker in the truck series, the chick that ended up making Jeff Gordon's old crew chief cheat on his wife. Good job, dude. Good job. And then I got a whole, Patty Moise, I'm forgetting her name, Shauna Robinson, and yes, I'll say it now, Danica Patrick. I'm going to skip past that now. I was kind of hoping that, I would have had some company by now, but, Millie, who stole the heart of the Vikings fans this postseason, Millie Wall, during that magical playoff run, she told, this is great, she told Fox 9 that she watches every game while drinking a screwdriver and keeps a fake brick on a string to throw at the television. I never knew that about her. Found that out today. Millie turned 100 yesterday on our country's 242nd birthday. So happy belated 100th birthday to you, Millie. Millie was born on the 4th of July. That would put it, 1918? Yeah, I'm good at math. Yay. I think Obadiah Gamble and Millie need to have a competition to figure out who is the real number one Vikings fan. Obadiah, as most remember, is the young guy that made a video inviting Randy Moss to his birthday. That was pretty cool. I never caught it on YouTube back then, but since then, viewers both local and nationally have grown to love him. And local and nationally, he gets the kind of coverage of a rock star. He does a lot of it alongside Carol 11 reporter, local Carol 11 reporter Janice Shortle, also part of the NBC conglomerate. And they continue to keep us updated on his witty insight and his takes on the Vikings. And he just kind of comes off the cuff. You just never know what that little guy's got in mind. It came to the attention that he had cleft lip palate, and people look at him and see him as different. And I think the kid's got more charisma than the majority of the world. I really do. So, IndyCar. Obviously, Indy had the weekend off, and Scott Dixon still holds the points lead. Will Power is in and out. That Penske team just kind of comes and goes. You know, you look at last year's champion, and I'm not sure that last year's champ is really going to do much more this year when you base his performance from years gone by. I think he is a stronger road course driver. Some might argue that. He did okay at Indy. So, Scott Dixon still in the leading points. The series returns at Iowa this weekend, Sunday, July 8th, on the short track, as far as they're concerned. It's a 7/8 mile. It doesn't have the highest banking in the world. It's higher than some tracks that I've been to and others that would have less banking. As far as Joseph Newgarden, last year's champion, I think he'll probably have to write this one off and then head on to places like the following week at the Toronto Grand Prix on the street course. I'm not sure how he is on street courses as in comparison to tracks like, Sonoma, Skip Barber Raceway down in Alabama, or Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. I like the street courses. I really do. The viewing sucks. But then again, so does the Indy 500. So who cares at that rate? Right. World of Outlaws. The points currently sit at Donnie Schatz in first, Brad Sweet in second, and David Gravel in third. I screwed up my notes as far as rank of order. Schatz and Gravel both took wins in the Knoxville Nationals last weekend. And the countdown is on. If you're from my neck of the woods, the Outlaws head to Cedar Lake Speedway and take the track in less than 24 hours right now. It's tomorrow and Saturday for the FBP Platinum Battery Showdown. The Twins. Is it worth talking about? Now I'm really going hometown. Twins came home today after a 1-8 road trip. Whatever. This is the year they're supposed to have last year, and last year obviously was phenomenal, and they gave us a grind hole. Or they didn't give us one, but we had to go to the men's room and women's room and grab a little bit of tissue. They sucked. Another give up to the Yankees. Got a little detail, too. The top 25 points that the Twins scored through a three-game series with the Cubs. I lost track in my news. Went winless while doing so. That's all I can come up with. Yeah, I mean, to go three games winless with 25 points, I'd like to dig through every team's stats and see who else has done that. The Twins currently are hosting the Orioles as we speak. Hopefully something better comes out of that. So I'm going to give a little prelude to this next part because this is humorous.
Take me out to the ball game.
Wondering why I constantly repeat the song Swing. It's for multiple reasons. Carlos Gomez. Doesn't that sound like a name you've heard a million times in baseball? Kind of like Escobar and Castro. Warlord, drug lord. Dictator, leader. Carlos Gomez provided some 4th of July fireworks in the Rays dugout on Wednesday, 4th of July. Daytime game, by the way. He destroyed a water cooler in a display of frustration after striking out in Tampa Bay's 3-0 loss versus the Marlins. And they were mentioning that, well, we didn't expect any fireworks at our stadium today as they played at the Marlins Stadium. It was just, oh my God, between punching a cooler and then beating the hell out of the others with a bat, the ice was coming up like giant explosions in the air. And this Gomez dude, it definitely made the highlight reels. And maybe it needs to make the highlight reels at the end of the week. And maybe at the end of the year. That Tampa Rays dude was pissed. Apparently he's not having the best year. And there was a runner on first and third. And he got struck out. Apparently he thought he was going to save the game, save the day, you know, all that good stuff. All right, moving on. I'm still alone on the air. That's okay. The Lynx took another loss when they played Indiana on Tuesday. I know nothing lasts forever, but I didn't imagine that they'd just be trying to hold on to at least a 500 record this year. You know, something to aim for. They're hurting. It's becoming the second half of the season already. And I don't see this being like any season in recent memory. The Lynx host the Sparks as we speak right now. Hopefully they can put some pride points on the board, I guess, if nothing else tonight. That's just been a disaster. But these girls aren't spring chickens anymore. And, anymore. Maya Moore. She has shots of brilliance. So let's switch over to NBA. LeBron to the Lakers. I really don't get where this went, but he's getting the $154 mil for a 4-year contract. Well, the NFL quarterbacks are getting less while taking a lot more abuse. And so 154 mil for 4 years versus 150 mil for 5 years to a player that the guy making more money doesn't even have to wear a helmet or pads, or it's his choice. Fan for Racing, blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing. Sharon and the crew over there, they do a great job covering motorsports. They're more focused on the NASCAR end of things, whereas, you know, Speedway Anywhere is more multi-sports. But I do recommend that you go over there and check them out after the show. They're usually on Mondays and Thursdays, from what I was recently told. So, Sharon on Fan for Racing at blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing. She's very friendly. She'll take your calls, let you chime in on stuff, and, you know, keep you informed. My nicotine gauge is starting to say that I'm running out of fuel. I didn't expect the show to go this short tonight, so it looks like we're only going to do about a 40-minute, maybe 45. Final laps. My question is that the salary caps in the NFL, salary caps all over the board. Now, wouldn't you agree that, okay, I equate this in a stupid way to the rollover minutes on cell phone plans. You know, that's long gone and over with. We ain't got to worry about it. Everything's unlimited. But in the past. Now, if, say that you got 5 million still on the board from last year, and then you still have 5 million left on the board for this year, you could pick up a pretty strong guy for that extra 10 million on the following year. I don't agree with salary caps. I don't. The Yankees have been playing freaking baseball for godzillion years, and they get to run their salaries wide open. The other sports should at least be able to roll over dollars to the following years. And I'm not saying it's 5 million. Maybe there's only 1.3 left. Maybe there's only 300,000 left. Maybe there's $1.30. I don't know. I got to do my homework too on what Brett Favre got going out of the Vikings over those couple of years. That's got to be an interesting one. So I'm gonna call it quits. I had no guests tonight, and that's fine. So, hey, I'm your crew chief, Cube. This has been Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Next week, we'll be starting up the mid-season review, the mid-season recap, and the mid-season preview of what's going to happen down the road. I'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time. And wherever you go, get there fast.